Isaiah chapter number 45, would you stand with me if it's not a hindrance to you? I know some of you it's hard to get up and down. If it is, you can remain seated. But I want you to just see one verse of Scripture this morning. And I believe God's given me the message for the hour. I've been praying what God would have me to preach. I thought a lot about heaven, what I could preach about heaven, this being homecoming, how we celebrate the homegoing of several individuals. But today, this morning, Isaiah chapter number 45, verse number 22, one verse of Scripture. And Isaiah said there, "Look unto me, and be ye saved for all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the manifestation of the Holy Ghost of God. Thank you, Lord, as we've heard even this week in Jubilee, how that you desire to come down among your people. Yes. And Father, I pray for that this morning. May you just pull the veil back. Oh God, we can do nothing apart from the moving. Lord, we know you're here this morning. Father, you've already said where two or more are gathered together in my name, there you are in the midst of them. But Lord, we just pray this morning you pull the veil back. God, that you'd just come down among your people. God, this morning, for that one that's down and out and discouraged, Lord, I pray encourage them before this morning is over. And I pray, God, for that one today who's walked in here lost without Jesus Christ. Lord, the Holy Ghost of God has just begun to prick their heart right now. Their heart's just beating so fast, about to beat out of their chest. Lord, help them to know that you love them. And the Holy Ghost of God is drawing them unto yourself. I pray, Lord, this morning, everything that we try to preach, God, I know, Lord, I can do nothing apart from you. I need your power. And I pray, Holy Ghost of God, anoint us afresh and anew. And all that you do for us, we'll be careful to praise you. We'll honor your blessed name, for it's in that name of Jesus we pray. And for his sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated this morning. Isaiah chapter number 45, verse 22. The Bible said, "Look unto me." And he said, "And be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Isaiah is a mini Bible. You'll find in the book of Isaiah there are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, as there are 66 books in the Word of God. I find as I read through Isaiah, been reading and studying a little bit on that, I find first of all the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Thank God, I believe in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. He slipped off the regal palaces of glory and came down, walked among sinful men, walked on the Galilean shores, healed the sick, raised the dead, opened the eyes of the blind, went to a rugged cross and died for your sin and my sin. God became man, and thank God he walked among us, as John said, he was tabernacled among us. Isaiah said the incarnation of Christ. I find in chapter number 45 the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 5 and verse 6. "For I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me." My friend, may I tell you this morning, I hate to clue you in on this, but unless you serve the Lord God, unless you go the Jesus way, there is no other way. There's no other way. There's no other God. You say, "Preacher, what about all these other gods? What about Muslims? And what about Hindus? And what about all these Eastern religions?" My friend, the Bible said, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." My friend, may I say to you in all love and sincerity, if you go any other way than the Jesus way, you'll go to hell. There is but one way, and that way is the Lord. Lord's way. Through the blood-stained banner, through the blood of the cross, we can have life. But then third, crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter number 53, he is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I find there in Isaiah that the Lord Jesus went to Calvary's cross, beat beyond recognition. There he was beaten in Pilate's judgment hall, compelled to bear his cross up Calvary's hill. There he died between two thieves. But thank God for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me. He was buried for me. But thank God he arose for me. And now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. But I find also in Isaiah the church of the living God. In Isaiah 61 verse number 2, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I've been reading over there in Isaiah a little bit about the church as he prophesies there long before the church ever began. And Isaiah said, I looked down through the telescope of time and I could see the blood-washed throne of God. You realize today, my friend, we're living in a blessed age. You say, preacher, what about all the problems and all the trouble and all the trial? Yes, sir, I know that. But thank God we're living in the church age. And I believe it's only just a little matter of time before he'll call his church home. He'll slip out and say, church, come on up hither. And I'm glad to tell you, one of these days I'll drop this robe of flesh. I'll rise and seize that everlasting prize. Shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. You realize, church, we're living in a blessed age. Say amen. I believe we're living in the age that the coming of Christ is at hand. I believe, my friend, he's coming back one of these days. I don't believe it's going to be long. But then I see also the coming of the Lord Jesus in Isaiah chapter 61 verse number 3. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. I'm glad to tell you, honey, I'm not looking to November to change this country. I'm not looking to the Democrats or the Republicans. I'm looking for the coming of him, the coming of Christ. He'll set things straight. Amen. He'll, my friend, come back in glory and in righteousness. But then also I find in Isaiah in chapter 65 the coronation of the king. For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. For the first of the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. Isaiah 65:25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. He said, they shall not hurt nor destroy all my holy mountain, saith the Lord, when he will sit upon the throne of David. He'll reign for 1,000 years. Then there'll be peace in the Middle East. Then there'll be peace in the United States. Thank God. The coronation of the King of Glory. He's coming back. He's coming for the church. But thank God he's coming back and sit on the throne of David and rule and reign for 1,000 years. I'm going to be a part of that. Amen. Oh, but here I want you to see something. I want you to see the message of the cross here in Isaiah chapter number 45, verse number 22. Here I find, beloved, it tells us in verse number 22 how you get saved. It tells who can save you. It tells me who can be saved and what is the result of being saved. This morning, number one, would you notice how do you get saved? The Bible said there in Isaiah 45:22, look. He didn't say work. He said look. He said look unto me. Jesus said unto Nicodemus in John chapter number 3 and verse number 14. Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. The Israelites rebelled in Numbers chapter 21. Hear me out, my friend. In Numbers 21, they rebelled against the man of God and the things of God, and the fiery serpents came up, and the Lord allowed that to happen, and those fiery serpents began to bite those people. I could see it now, Brother Jimmy. That day those serpents would come and attach themselves to the arm, and they would bite, and all of a sudden the poison would start coursing through their body, and people would start dying like flies. They'd fall over
graveyard dead. And all of a sudden they went to man, the man of God. They said, Moses, what are we to do? Moses went to God. He said, Lord, what are we to do? He said, I want you to go and fix a brazen serpent, a serpent of brass. Put it on a pole and lift it up. And he said, if they'll look at the serpent, if they'll look at that brazen serpent, they shall live. And the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, a religious man, a man that knew what it was to study the Bible, he said, Nicodemus, as the Israelites in the Old Testament, they had to look to that serpent to live. He said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that I would draw all men unto myself. My friend, may I say something? Is it, how do you get saved? Look to the cross today. Look to the Savior. Look away from everything else. Don't look at anybody else. Don't look at this man over here. Don't look at this preacher right here. Don't look at a deacon or Sunday school teacher. Look to Jesus, for he and he alone can. There's nobody else. There's nobody else. He said, look unto me, all ye. And he said, you shall be saved. Thank God. All it takes is a look. All it takes is a look. You say, preacher, what do I have to do? Oh, my friend, all you got to do is look. That's all you have to do. I believe back in Moses' day, I believe those people, I can see them. Those serpents come up, fasten themselves to their leg. They'd be dragging that old leg around with poison coursing through the veins. Moses would say to them, all you got to do is look at that. Look up yonder that pole. Look at that serpent. And they drag that leg around. They said, I think I'll try to do it on my own. I'll see if I can suck the poison out. I'll see if I can get some kind of other remedy. And all the time that poison coursing through their body, headed to the heart, and it's going to kill them any minute. And all they got to do, all they got to do, all they got to do is look. All you got to do. You say, preacher, what I got to do to get saved? Look. Look to the Lamb. You look to the Lamb, that's all you got to do. Look what the Bible said. Isaiah 45:22. How do you get saved? Look. Number two, who do you look to? Look in Isaiah 45:22. Unto me. Look to Jesus. Only him. Nobody else can help you. Nobody else can save you. For the Lord said, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, it's not through any other religion. Oh, listen, my friend. There is a blood-stained banner. There is a crimson tide that flows from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And for those of you that believe this book, and those of you that believe in God and believe in Jesus, if you look to him, he said you can be saved. It's simply by a look. And you say, who can save me? Only Jesus can. There's a church, you want to call it that, over in Graham. I passed by one day, and I'll just go ahead and tell you what it is. It's a Unitarian church, if you know what that is. And I passed by one day and they had a sign out there, Brother Jimmy, that said this. Oh, on the marquee on the church, it said there are many ways to heaven. And I thought, oh, my soul, folks will ride by there and they'll see that and they'll say, yep, that church there says it is. But friend, I want to tell you what, this book says there's but one way. It's the Jesus way. I passed by that place here just a few weeks ago and it said our founder so and so, and it gave the date of his birth and date of his death, 2012, and it said he's gone to a higher place. I said, don't bet on it. Don't bet on it. Because my friend, I got news for you. It's not the Buddhist, it's not the Mormons, it's not this religion, it's not that, it's not the Baptist, it's not the Methodist, it's not the Presbyterian, it's not any denomination. Thank God, it's Jesus and Jesus and he alone. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one. Look to him. Third of all, what's the result of looking? And be you saved. Oh, don't let that word scare you. Be you saved. Folk today say, what do you mean, saved from what? Thank God, saved from eternity in hell. Oh, listen, Brother Eddie, you mentioned a while ago, July 27th, 1969. That's my physical birthday. Not 1969, a little before that, 55. But Brother Eddie, I remember as an 11-year-old boy, around 1967, Hey, I remember Brother Jimmy, 4905 Lakemont Drive, Raleigh, North Carolina. That brick house with a double concrete driveway my daddy built. I remember Sister Tammy, the night that I got saved. I remember the night the Lord came to my heart. I was 11 year old Brother Jimmy. I wasn't out on drugs. No, sir. And listen, don't you look at me and say, oh, you're a goody two-shoes. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. All my righteousness are as filthy rags. Right. There's nobody good enough in this room to go to heaven. All of us are destined for hell. If we got what we deserve, we'd end up in hell with a back row. But thank God for the mercy and the grace of a loving God that went to Calvary and died for this old boy. Yeah. I'm glad an 11-year-old boy, I got saved. Amen. I hadn't got out in the world. I hadn't drunk. I drank and run around. I hadn't smoked. I hadn't done them things. But friend, let me tell you something. Doing them things don't send you to hell. The only thing that'll send you to hell is not believing what Jesus has already said and not trusting in what he's already done. If you go through this life and you die lost without Christ, you will go to a devil's hell. Look unto me and be ye saved. Saved from what? Boy, I'm glad when God saved you, he put something new in your life, ain't you? Boy, I tell you what, I don't know about y'all, but I got a blessing listening to these folks sing this morning. Sing about heaven, amen. That gates of pearl, them streets of gold. Hey, that's my home they're singing about. Glory to God. I'm headed to that celestial city. In just a little while, we'll walk out yonder to that cemetery and we'll call out their names. I got a sister out yonder. I got a mom and daddy over yonder in Reedsville. But thank God that our only things out yonder is their body. They're in the presence of God. What a blessing it is to know when you've been saved for eternity, passed from death unto life. I've got a home in glory. Saved from what, preacher? Saved to walk the streets of glory. Look unto me and be ye saved. Who can get saved? Who can get saved? They're all the ends of the earth. I'm glad. I'm glad God didn't say only the rich can get saved. I'm driving that little car out yonder. This sister down here, I pulled up yesterday. I think she was covetous. I believe she was in. And I went on to tell her that a car seat don't fit too good in that Mustang. I drove it the other day. Brother Don Harrell, he come out and looked at me and said, son, what are you driving? I said, well, it's a car. He said, I can't give you his exact words, but he said, I bet they'd be something you pull down Burton Street over yonder. Hey, I grew up on the other side of the tracks. My mom and daddy, they didn't have nothing. My daddy bought a house that was half burned down, fixed it up. We lived on the mill side of town. Y'all know what the mill side of town is, right? Amen. But I'm glad to tell you, I'm glad that the Lord didn't say just the rich could get saved. And it's not just for the poor. It's not just for the black, not just for the white. All the ends of the world, thank God, the mercy and the grace of God is extended to you, regardless of who you are, regardless of how bad you've been, regardless of your background. Thank God he said, I can and will save you. What a blessing. Remember, the Israelites, bitten by them snakes. This old boy walking out, he's dragging his leg. Poison's coursing through his body. He's just about ready to kill over dead. And I believe Moses had come up to him and said, hey, if you just look at that, just look at that snake up yonder, look at that brazen serpent, you'll live. He'll say, I think I'll wait. I know we got some folks in here in the medical profession. They could tell me. I was going to look it up, but I was going to ask this question. Maybe you know, I don't. How long does it take from the time a person gets bit by a snake? I'm talking about poison snake before they die. I don't know. Years ago, my daughter back yonder, she's about 11, 12 years old, walked out to the shed one night. I heard her holler. She come running back, and all she could say was snake. I went back, and I couldn't tell what it was or where it had gone. My son was coming in from work. I didn't waste any time, Brother Jimmy. I grabbed her up and put her in that expedition we had. And as he was coming in the driveway, I hollered at him and said, "We're heading to the hospital." And honey, we went to the hospital with a hammer down. I mean, full blast. Brother Randy said he's hard to keep up with me last night. My nickname is Jehu. Say amen right there. You know your Bible. Jehu drove his chariot furiously. But I got news for you that night, that expedition, I was bound and determined. I don't care if a patrolman pulls me. I don't care if the blue lights come on. I'm going to get into the hospital. Why? Because I'm not taking a chance. If that was a poisonous snake, I don't know what kind of snake it was, but I want her to live. Amen. And listen, my friend, you sitting here this morning, you say, "I'll take my chances." Oh, you're playing Russian roulette. One of these days, you'll breathe your last breath. You don't have to be old to die. One thing you do have to be is prepared to die. And he said, "Oh, ye that look unto me, you shall be saved." Why don't you get saved today? Why not today? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Last of all, who's the one who saves? For I am God, and there's none else. John 6:66. The disciples, many of them had left the Lord and gone their separate way. And Jesus looked over at Peter. And he said, "Peter, will you also go away? Everybody else has left me." And Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Who else? There's nobody else. I am the Lord. I'm your God. There's none else." Hey, can I tell you something? Mohammed cannot save you. Allah cannot save you. Josephus cannot save you. Joseph Smith, Charles Russell. Hey, it's only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. I was thinking of this song, Miss Joanne. I want you to play for me in a minute. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow." The Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. If you've never read anything of Spurgeon, he's deep. He was in England. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, great, great preacher. If you mentioned his name, people would know who you talk about. But Charles Haddon Spurgeon, at one time, as a young man, did not know Christ. But God began to hunger, put a hunger in his heart, and put a longing in it. And by the way, can I tell you something? I believe this, my friend. God will put a hunger and a thirst in your soul. There's a void in your heart that only God can satisfy. You can try money, pleasure, life. You can try pleasures of life, sin, sex, everything else. But only Jesus can satisfy. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one cold, I believe it was February, it was snowing. He said, "I'm going to church." He got up, got dressed, walked down to the church he'd known been going to. When he got down there, the church was closed. Too bad of a weather. He knew, though, that there was a group, what he called primitive Methodist Christians. He said, "I really didn't like that church because they sang awful loud." But he said, "I wanted to go to church that Sunday morning." I went down to that church, walked in, there was 12 to 15 people present. The preacher, the weather was so bad, the preacher didn't even show up. Couldn't make it. But in that little group, in that little 12, 15 folks, there was a man. He was either a shoe cobbler, just an ordinary man. Didn't know anything about preaching, but he got up to preach, and he turned to Isaiah 45:22, and this is what he said. My dear friends, this is a very simple text indeed. It says, "Look," now looking, and this is, I'm reading the way he said, "Now looking, don't take a deal of pains. It ain't lifting your foot or your finger. It's just look." Well, a man needn't go to college to learn to look. You might be the biggest fool, and yet you can look. A man need not be worth a thousand a year, be able to look. Anyone can look, even a child can look. But then the text said, look unto me, as he said in broad Essex language. Many of you are looking to yourselves, but it's no use of looking there. You'll never find any comfort in yourselves. Some look to God the Father. No, look to him by and by. Jesus Christ says, look unto me. Some on you say, we must wait for the Spirit's working. You have no business with that just now. Look to Christ, the text says, look unto me. And then that fella says this, look unto me. I'm a sweating great drops of blood. Look unto me. I'm a hanging on the cross. Look unto me. I'm dead and buried. Look unto me. I rise again. Look unto me. I ascend to heaven. Look unto me. I'm a sitting at the Father's right hand. Oh, poor sinner. Look unto me. And after he had said just a few words, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he looked over and pointed his finger at him and said, young man, you look miserable. Spurgeon said, I've never had anybody to single me out in a service like that before, especially from the pulpit. And that man looked at him and he said, you look miserable and you'll stay miserable. You'll live a miserable life and you'll die miserable. You'll go to heaven miserable unless you look to him. And he said that day, glory to God, that day, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, greatest Baptist preacher ever preached in shoe leather, came and looked and said, come, come, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and save me. And that day, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, on a snowy day that didn't have a preacher, 12, 15 people, got gloriously saved. Look. Some of you need to look today. Some of you need to look. I mean, listen, some of you today, if you were to stand before God today and God were to say, why should I let you into heaven? Oh, you say, well, hey, Lord, I'm a good person. No. Oh, well, look at what I do for the church. No. Oh, Lord, look, I can sing. I can do this. I can teach a class. Oh, no, look. No. You need to look to him. Look to him.